joining us over the phone this morning. Jeremiah, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. Ready to watch some basketball, sitting on the couch all day.
Well, that kind of answers my first question. I thought, are they going to send him out to Indiana? I guess that answers that question.
There's a story there.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like you're too anxious to tell it, so maybe we'll go over.
If you wanted me to tell you my long, boring story about why we're not going to Indianapolis,
I can probably guess why. But
yeah.
But the first game coming up, well, obviously, we look at some of the teams of note that you cover coming right up is obviously you got the Aggies coming up this morning, taking on Texas Tech. And I got to be honest with you, Jeremiah, as I look at this matchup, and it's an 11-6. Typically, that's not a surprise when there's a quote-unquote upset on an 11-6. But Texas Tech, 17-10, Utah State, 20-8. Now, obviously, I've had a chance to watch Utah State a bit closer, but why does Texas Tech deserve a 6 or an 11? To me, I look at this and I go, I think Utah State's got this one in the bag.
Wow, that's pretty bold. I'll tell you why Texas Tech deserves that seed. Because the Big 12, arguably the best basketball conference, I'd say probably Big 10 1 and then Big 12 2. So don't be too – I wouldn't look too much into their 17-10 record. Right. I mean, if they're going to have that record – in the Big 12, that means they're pretty darn good. They have some pretty good wins this year. That league was outstanding this year. You just look at the quality of teams that have been in the tournament that are from the Big 12, and you think there's a good chance that one of those teams could end up in the Final Four. Obviously, Baylor's got a great chance to do that. And Oklahoma State's kind of a dark horse, Kate Cunningham. But Texas Tech battles don't have the record that you normally see a 6 have, but you know this is not a normal year. So here's my thing with this matchup is, you know, obviously Utah State has Namish Keita, and he's unbelievable, and he's one of the best players they've ever had. Texas Tech's strength is paint defense. So how is Keita going to do against a team that defends the paint really well? That's going to be a question, and if the Aggies can find a way to get Keita going, get that ball moving, they got a great chance. Look, Utah State's got a quality roster. They got guys that are experienced, guys that have played in the tournament before. That's going to help them. But Texas Tech's just a couple years removed from a Final Four, too. They got a great coach. They got great players. It's going to be a battle, but I have my concerns about it. But, man, the Aggies have the leadership and the experience needed to pull off that 11-6 upset. We'll see if they can do it.
11:45 is when that one's supposed to tip off, and as Dow was saying, it wouldn't be the first time that an 11's beat a 6, certainly, so we'll be watching that one.
No.
How about the 6-seeded Cougars, 20-6 overall? They have UCLA after UCLA won their round of 4 play-in game. What are you seeing in that matchup?
So I was a little concerned that Michigan State would be the team that would advance, and that BYU would be facing Michigan State on Saturday. And UCLA just did BYU a solid, knocked out the Spartans, so I thought were not the best matchup for BYU. And now BYU is going to go up against UCLA, which I think is a much better matchup for BYU. BYU is going to have the paint, the guys in the paint, arms in the paint, to be able to kind of protect the rim, and it's going to allow BYU's guards to get going and be involved in that game. Also, Zujang, UCLA's best player, one you could argue is their best player, their top scorer, he got injured at the end of the Michigan State game. He sprained an ankle. It didn't look very good. If he can't go, that helps BYU's case even more. So the matchup now favors BYU, in my opinion. I think BYU beats UCLA.
Well, especially, you know, I always look at those play-in games anyway. I mean, there was kind of what I thought could be a potential advantage for BYU just anyway, because I mean one of these teams had to play just 2 days before, and obviously it ended up going to overtime as well, so that one plays into the Cougars' favor. But you know, I guess I look at this matchup as well, and I look at Mark Pope, and I think this is his first chance to coach in the Big Dance, and I think he's going to show why he has been such an effective coach so far.
I think there's a hunger with this team. Not all the guys, but some of the guys on this team were there last year, and they realized what it feels like to have it taken away. And so there's this eagerness to get back and have the experience, even though it's not going to be the most normal March Madness experience is, I don't know if you saw the videos yesterday of that went viral of BYU guys getting hyped for their COVID test. And, you know, one of the players got stuck in an elevator yesterday. I mean, this is not the normal March Madness experience, but you can tell, if you saw those videos, the enthusiasm they're having to enjoy every moment of this, even something as mundane as getting ready to go take a COVID test. So there's a joy and an urgency with this BYU team that I think is going to serve them well. And you mentioned, being worn out from an overtime game. There's also the opposite take. In the past, it's been pretty common for a team that wins in the first four to advance past that first round into the round of 32 or even Sweet 16. We've seen first four teams make the Final Four. So obviously, if you're a BYU fan, you hope that's not UCLA, but that has happened before, so which is pretty interesting. But I just feel like BYU, coming off that strength of that performance against Gonzaga, I think they're going to be primed and ready to go, and they're going to want to win this game.
Well, Jeremiah, should BYU get the win and advance into the second round, more than likely you have Texas at that point. A little different matchup. What would you see in a game like that should that happen?
Another Big 12 team, right? I told you guys about the Big 12. There's a lot of good Big 12 teams. And it's funny, of all these Big 12 teams that we could bring up, I feel like Texas is maybe the most vulnerable. That's a team that doesn't have tournament experience. They haven't been there for a while. And I just feel like that's one team that BYU would match up well with. So if BYU is fortunate enough to get past UCLA, there's a bit of a path here for them to not only advance to the round of 32, but possibly a Sweet 16, which would be fun. Texas as a 3 seed, I think Oklahoma State's better than Texas. So that kind of gives you an idea of kind of where I see things. That's my opinion, that I think BYU would be in a very favorable matchup against the 3 seed Texas if they were fortunate enough to advance past UCLA.
Well, as you look at this program, they obviously were able to bounce back from last year's disappointment. But Coach Pope, and they had a great transfer with Harms coming in. But as far as the direction of the program and who's coming in, let's look at that and Utah State. What do you expect from them moving forward?
I think that there's some positivity up there for one. It's been a pretty rough go. So I think that they needed to, Utah State football needed a new direction. And, time will tell. I feel like I'm trying to describe it. It's too early to say what that could be, but there was definitely a need for a new direction and new leadership, new vision. And I think he can bring that, and I think you've already seen that a bit. Now we've got to see it on the field. And it's going to be tough to know in spring what that is, but it's just a new vibe, I guess is how I would put it. And that's definitely what was needed there, so I think that's the positive there.
Well, speaking of new direction, Jeremiah, Utah basketball doing just that. Last time we talked about the Utes program, the men's program, and just how it seemed to flounder a little bit. Didn't really have much direction, as you were talking, and Chris Koviak, we're learning this week, is out, and now a search for a new coach at Utah.
Yeah, but you remember my comments. I'm not surprised at all that this decision was made. I felt it was just a matter of them being able to find a way to do a buyout, and apparently they did that, and the change was made, and it's much needed. And you always hate to see these kind of things. These coaches are human beings, and they have families, and they're all going to be affected by this. But you can't, at University of Utah, you cannot go 5 years without making an NCAA tournament. It can't happen, and so change was definitely needed. And it's going to be very interesting to see who Mark Harlan chooses with this hire, because it's obvious he's been thinking about this for quite some time now. This is not something that just happened in the spur of the moment overnight. It didn't happen because they didn't win the Pac-12 tournament. This is something that was probably going to happen no matter what. And I'm sure he's got an idea of who he wants to go after. And there's a lot of possibilities we can go into if you want. But I think this was way overdue, and that program is Like Utah is one of the top 12 all-time winningest college basketball programs. There's no excuse for the program being where it is. The facilities are amazing. The Pac-12 is ripe for the taking if you get the right coach in there and the right players. There's so many great possibilities. They could really turn this thing quick and turn it into a powerhouse, but you've got to have the right coach, and we'll see if they can find that.
So in your opinion, not to delve too far into that rabbit hole, but who is your idea of a home run type hire for the Utes?
I'll throw out some names. Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago, if they were able to get him to come there, would be a home run hire. He's seen what he's been. He took Loyola Chicago to a Final Four. So imagine what he would do with a Pac-12 program with all the resources that he would have at Utah. I don't know, maybe it's not a good fit, but he's coached under Majerus. That's not really a connection per se, but there is that knowledge there. I'm sure he has with the program working with Majerus. There's some obvious names, some Utah alumni, Alex Jensen being the one that's probably talked about the most. He's the head assistant with Utah Jazz, who played at Utah, played on the national championship runner-up team in 1998. And the question would be, would Alex want to leave that assistant job where he's on track for an NBA head coaching job to come and recruit and do all the things he'd have to do in college? I've heard that that's a no, but I'm sure they will pursue him. Johnny Bryant, also a former Ute, who's an assistant coach with the Knicks now. I know that there is interest that he would be willing to listen to Mark Harlan and consider that job. And there's some other guys like Craig Smith at Utah State. Would Craig Smith want to triple his salary and come coach just 90 miles south? Coach in the Pac-12, be able to recruit and do what he's done at Utah State on a bigger scale at Utah where he has more resources. If he could quickly turn around the Utah State program, imagine what he could do at Utah in the Pac-12. That would be something I think a lot of people would want to see, and Craig Smith is fantastic. So those are just a few names, and I'm sure there's other dark horses that are out there, but those are some of the names that I would look at for sure.
Jeremiah Jensen joining us this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. So, Jeremiah, it all gets underway at 10 o'clock this morning, an hour and a half, Utah State this morning at 11:45, BYU tomorrow at 7:40. So when it's all said and done, when you fill out your bracket, who do you got dancing at the very end, Jeremiah? Who's your national champ pick?
Gonzaga. And I know that's not the, you know, that's an easy choice, right? But I'm just so blown away. I watched BYU play almost a perfect game for a half, and they had Gonzaga on the ropes, and Gonzaga still found a way to win the game by 10. I can't imagine anybody and pulling it off and beating them. I know there's a lot of good teams in the tournament. Baylor's probably the one that could get it done, but man, Gonzaga is, if you've watched Gonzaga, that's one of the best college offensive teams I've seen in a while, and if they play even a little bit of defense, no one can touch them. So Baylor probably has the best shot. Maybe in Illinois, if they get to the Final Four, could give them a run. And maybe like a dark horse like Oklahoma State with Cade Cunningham. You need a star. You got to have a star to beat Gonzaga. BYU just didn't have quite enough firepower in that game to finish them off. But Gonzaga is clearly the team to beat, and I see them cutting down the nets by the time this thing's over in April.
Yeah, hard to go against the undefeated. For sure.
Yeah.
All right.
If they make history, it'd be pretty crazy.
It would be. Absolutely. Jeremiah, as always, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure.